Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement. Milton Berle Show. With Kurt Kelton, Jack Albertson, Mary Schiff, Billy Sands, Johnny Gibson, Charlie Irving, our singing star, Dick Barney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallagher. Ladies and gentlemen.
All for Milton Berle.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we salute literature in recognition of Milton Berle's book, Out of My Trunk, which last week appeared in a new pocket edition for 25 cents. This again proves that Berle is just a two-bit comedian. Here he is, Milton Berle.
I'm Bill down tonight. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, I'm a two-bit comedian. Me, Milty Fort Knox Berle. Why, I made so much money out of comedy, if I decide not to pay my income tax this year, no Marshall Plan. But my book, Mr. Gallup, is dynamite. It's called Out of My Trunk. My trunk. It's really a Hope chest. All of Hope's jokes. I won't say the book is corny, but every time you read it near a fireplace, the book pops. But you hire pop? But my book, I want
to... Earl.
Coming, Mother. Oh, it's you, Mr. Gallup. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. The microphone was in the way. You're such a thin one, huh? Mr. Gallup, you look like a man of distinction who switched to vanishing cream. Really?
Berle.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that voice.
Berle.
Sounds like the last buzz a dentist gives you before he hits the nerve. Mr. Gallup, before tonight, before you make any crude remarks, have you read my book?
No, Berle. I'm waiting for the English translation.
Oh, that's clever, Mr. Gallup. My next book that I'm going to write is going to be about you.
Me?
I'm going to call it... Yes, you. I'm going to call it The Rise and Fall of a Certain Thin, Waxy-Faced Announcer Who Heckled a Certain Lovable Comedian Once Too Often and Suddenly Found Himself Back Announcing the Symphonies for Long Hairs for Short Dough. Or, Goodbye, Sam.
Berle, you have the audacity to threaten me, you who are hanging on to this job only because Philip thinks Morris hired you and Morris thinks Philip did.
Now, look, Mr. Gallup, please. You're on. Look, Mr. Gallup.
Well, once they get together and compare notes... Goodbye, Milton!
That pause was there.
I had to get it
you
out
had
of
to
my
get the
pocket.
Whistle.
Yes.
Oh, please.
But I want to tell you.
No, you don't want to tell me anything.
Yes, I do.
You sound like Whistler's mother here. What is it you want to say, Mr. Gallup?
I say there's only one thing that could save this program. They should put you in the store windows and let Johnny tell the jokes.
Johnny tells jokes? Johnny tells jokes? Mr. Gallup, did you hear something? Was there some talk around the office?
Oh, little, but who's worried?
Yeah, who's worried? I'm worried. You're just jealous, Mr. Gallup, just because I've had my book published.
Jealous?
Yes.
My father, back in Boston, dabbled in publishing.
He dabbled in it?
Yes, it was the old boy's hobby. Yeah. He printed innumerable books for the fashionable Bostonian gentleman.
He did? What book?
One was called New Methods in Whipping Your Valet.
That sounds good.
There was another one, 16 Ways to Start Your Dickie.
That's good. And how do you... Get the whistle back, please. How did your father do?
Well, after all, Bill, printing books like that takes money, so...
So?
Dad began printing money.
Your father printed money?
Bales of it until that tragic day when the blow fell.
What happened?
Father found out that the government was doing the same thing.
Oh. Well, it must have been a shock.
Oh, it was. And that's when Dad turned Republican.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. I remember when they carried him away, he was still shouting, "How long is government going to interfere with private enterprise?"
Mr. Gallup, you have a beautiful tail there. And if you wear your coat long enough, no one will notice it. I'm so zippy tonight, aren't I? Well, Mr. Gallup, you told a story, did you not, about your family in Boston? Mm-hmm. I, too, have a story. Q. It's a beautiful story of how my book came to be published. I'll never forget that day I was called into the office of a big publisher. Anxiously, I opened the door and said,
"Hello, Mr. Clyde. I received
your..." "Well, they brought me the manuscript of your book. I'm publishing it."
"Yeah?"
"I didn't even read it, but I'm publishing it. You know why?"
"Why?"
"Because I like you. I like the book. I like your style. Kill me. I like you."
"Well, gee, Mr. Clyde..."
"Don't thank me. I like doing things for people I like. You either like a person or you don't like them. You I like. I'm like that."
"Well, I know."
"Have you a brother?"
"Yes."
"Tell him I like him, too."
"I'll tell my brother."
"Wait. Be what? Careful. Don't let him get the idea I like him more than I like you."
"No.
I like him, but I only like him because he's your brother and I like you."
"Yeah, well, that's good. Now, about the book."
"We're printing 100,000 copies, bound in simulated beaver board. And why? Why am I doing this?"
"Why?"
"Because I like you."
"All right.
I like you the minute you walked in. I like you more by the minute. What time is it?"
"3:00.
3:00? Yeah. I'm crazy about you. I like you. Thank you."
Well, the book was published, and a year later, I was called into Mr. Clyde's office again. I opened the door.
"Burl, where have you been? The book's only been out a year, and we've already sold 4 copies."
"I know. My mother bought 3 of them."
"And I bought the other one."
"Did you?"
"I don't have to tell you why."
"No."
"But I will. I like you. There, I've said it."
"Well, thanks, but why did you call me?"
"Burl, I'm putting out your book in a new edition with pictures."
"With pictures? You are?"
"I was about to publish a book by some new writer named Ernest Hemingway, but I threw it out. You know why?"
"Why?"
"Because I don't like him. I like you."
I know you like me."
"You know?"
"Yeah."
"Who told you?"
"You did."
"I'm glad. I've been meaning to tell you. I like you."
"Well, thanks very much."
"Burl, with the pictures I'm putting in your book, it'll be bigger than Tom Swift and his electric hockey stick."
"Well, gee."
"And when you're up there on top, just remember one thing."
"What?"
"I like you."
Gee, I don't know what to say."
"Say you like me."
"I like you."
"I like you, too."
"I like you, too."
"You're not saying you like me just because I like you."
No, I really like you."
"You're just saying that to make me feel good."
No, I like you."
"You like me now. Who knows about tomorrow?"
"I like you."
"I'll bet behind my back."
"I like you."
"And after all I've done for you..."
"I like you. I tell you, I like you." Yes, Mr. Clyde was right. My book with pictures in it was a big success. To this day, he is still selling my book, and he says...
"Pardon me, friend, if you'll just step into this doorway, I have here under my coat a book filled with snappy art pictures, guaranteed..."
"Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Ah, Mr. Gallup, it is in literature that our fondest memories of romance are preserved. When you walked hand in hand with that one and only girl, as you sang, if they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. All right, have it your way. Cynthia. Cynthia, golden memories of my Cynthia. I always wanted to write a book about you, Cynthia, but someone beat me to it. He wrote The Hound of Baskervilles. Cynthia, my literary lion, you were voted president of the Schnook of the Month Club. Simple Cynthia, all that publicity didn't turn your head. I didn't mind. I liked it on backwards. I liked it on backwards. Must be people out there. I see them leaving. Let me sit out there. You come up here. Excited you got, Cynthia, when you heard the rumor that they were going to make the Sears Roebuck catalog into a picture. They wanted you to star in the harness section. Book-loving Cynthia, you even used to read while crossing the street, and one day, boing, you went down a manhole, and you refused to come out. There was a man down there. Cynthia, my darling, you were lovely. You were the flower of my heart. Too bad you went to pot. But it was the cute little things I remember about you, Cynthia. The crumbs you'd leave when you ate cannel ration in bed. Cannel ration and by... Your tinkling little laugh that night Graziano fouled you at the garden. I think I'll quit while I'm even. Yes, Cynthia, I could write a book. Then the world discovers as my book ends how to make two lovers of a friend. And now, here's Ken Roberts.
So you have been smoking for years, and you are just beginning to smoke. The words you're about to hear are the most important, the most authoritative words you've ever heard about cigarettes. For these words were written by one of America's top-ranking doctors, an eminent nose and throat specialist who knows the scientific facts about smoking. Listen to what the doctor had to say.
There is no doubt in my mind that Philip Morris cigarettes are much less irritating than other cigarettes.
And now listen to the doctor's conclusion.
We would be neglecting our patients who smoke if we did not suggest that they smoke Philip Morris.
Remember, if your cigarette leaves your throat dry and parched, if it makes you cough or leaves a stale, musty taste in your mouth, these definitely are reasons for a change to Philip Morris. So join the thousands who every day are joining the millions who have already discovered that a change to Philip Morris is a change to a better cigarette, a finer cigarette, a cigarette of proved superiority. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
That was supposed to be a great day coming, but there was only 2 hours. Played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. Wonderful, Ray. You really keep things rolling. You should with those crapshooters in your band. But let us continue now our salute to literature as we present...
Literature Forum tonight. The question, should Milton Berle devote more time to write, or should he first learn how to read?
Thank you very much, King Baggett. And now, let us have questions from our audience. All right, let's start. Let's start with this young man in the first row with the bicycle pump blowing up his little brother. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Chiang Kai-shek.
Chiang Kai-shek?
What are you so surprised? It's a boy's name.
I know.
Don't confuse me with the one from China.
I won't.
His wife's name is Madam Chang. My wife's got an American name.
I see. What's your wife's name?
Irving.
All right, Chang. You have a question about literature?
If I had a question about literature, would I go to you? If I had a question about literature, I'd rather go to Lassie.
But
don't try to use me as a stooge for that broken-down book of yours.
I read that
book. You must have written some of those jokes with embalming fluid. Couldn't sell that book if it was banned in Boston and sold at every stag party. You couldn't sell that book if it had a happy ending where you die on the last page.
Please.
I am mother's bookend.
Please, we must try and maintain order. All right, let's hear from the ladies in our audience. This lady in the aisle holding her mouth under that leaky container of pickled herring. The young lady, what is your name?
Tilly Lafini. I'm a homemaker.
I see. I see you are. And you have a question that has to do with literature.
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from being such a bookworm? He used to be known as Bright Eyes.
Hmm?
Now he's Cockeyes.
Your husband reads a lot?
Does he? He's always got his nose in a book.
He's always got his nose in a book?
Yeah, he keeps it there to remember his place.
Well, he sounds intelligent.
He's always reading them mystery books at night. They give him goose pimples.
He gets goose pimples?
It's like sleeping next to a sack of ping pong balls.
I understand.
He's a lazy kind of reader. He likes to curl up with a book and turn the pages with his big toe.
He turns the pages with his big toe?
Yeah. He wets it by dipping in his cup of tea.
Well, that's terrible.
Why, he takes the tea bag out, face.
Oh, I...
What, do you think he's a slob or something?
No. I know. Don't.
Last week, for the first time in 17 years, he read a love story. It had such an effect on him, he come over and give me a big kiss.
He gave you a kiss?
Yeah, it was the first time in 17 years for me, too.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you.
as a highlight to our forum on literature, may we present one of America's favorite authors. His stories of swashbuckling, blood-tingling adventure are written from his own experiences as a two-fisted, brawny hero. He is none other than that Zane Big Tex Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tex Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. I welcome this most opportune and glorious occasion to say howdy to the many readers of my book who laugh when they see my picture in the front and laugh even harder when they see me in the back.
Tell us, Tex.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrow. Would you hold me up against the microphone? I'm dragging.
Mr. Featherby, what's wrong?
Oh, I had a terrible shock this afternoon. The coroner asked me to come down and identify a body.
Well, that's terrible. A friend?
No, me.
Mr. Featherby, may I ask you, as a writer, I understand that you travel all over the world seeking adventure.
How about that?
Yeah,
I just returned from a lion hunting trip in Africa. Frank Buck and his brother saved my life.
Frank Buck and his brother saved your life?
Yes, a lion attacked me and they just said, scat, and the lion did.
No kidding.
Yes, you see, this was a very poor lion. He'd do anything for $2.
I wish I had that one. Mr. Featherfield... As a writer of adventure stories, I'll bet the way that you met your wife was romantic.
Who? I was cruising the South Seas. One day, the lookout spotted an island and yelled, land ho!
Your wife was on the island?
My wife was the island.
Oh, oh. Your wife's fat, I gather.
My wife's got fat. She's given up trying to gather.
Yep. Mr. Featherfield. Yep. Mr. Featherfield. That one's a two-time loser, you know. Mr. Featherfield, as a writer of many romances, what is your advice to the young man who wants to get married?
He should first examine his financial situation.
Yes.
He should examine the girl's character.
Mm-hmm.
Then he should examine the housing situation.
Yeah.
After that, if he still wants to get married,
yes,
he should have his head examined.
Thank you very much, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you.
Here's our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing.
Love is so terrific, such a funny feeling. Makes you want to cuddle and cling. Makes you sentimental, makes you kind of gentle. Oh, terrific thing. Love is so prolific, sends you head a reeling. Makes you want to giggle and sing. Makes you sigh and wonder, hits you just like thunder. Oh, terrific thing. Life rearranges, suddenly changes. Everything's strange as it can be. When we get hazy, then you go crazy. Wow. Look what it's done to me. Love is so terrific, such it is a feeling. Makes you hear the wedding bells ring. Melts away your collar, makes you wanna holler out, terrific thing. Life rearranges, suddenly changes, everything's strange as it can be. Memory gets hazy, then you are crazy. Wow, look what he's done to me. Love is so terrific, such it is a feeling. Makes you hear the wedding bells ring. Melts away your collar, makes you wanna holler. Out, terrific thing. Out. Terrific thing.
Dick Farney. Wonderful. Ah, if I had a voice like that. I couldn't sing in vaudeville when I really couldn't. I was too sentimental. Every time I opened my mouth to sing, I get all choked up. Then I found out what the cause was. The manager's fist was down my throat. But, Mr. Gallup, let's get back to our subject of literature.
Yes, Burl, and it just so happens I have an amusing experience to relate.
You have?
Yes, it's very funny.
Good, Mr. Gallup. Let's hear it.
Oh, no, no. It's too funny. It would break the mood of this program.
Oh, that's clever. Now get off the nest and let me cackle for a while. Mr. Gallup, let me tell you what happened to me about a year ago in a public library. I'd been missing a lot of good books. Bob Sylvester's book, Rough Sketch, Arch of Triumph, and all those wonderful books. Then I heard a guy at the Friars Club reading Inside USA. He was reading it out loud to the Rich Brothers. So one afternoon, I dropped in at the Free Public Library to pick up a copy of Inside USA, and I never... Boy, a free public library. And get a load of all those books. Looks like my joke file. Here's the desk. I say, miss, I'd like a book.
A what?
A book. Two covers with pages.
You'll have to leave, sir. You're making too much noise. According to Rule 16, library users must maintain absolute quiet.
I'm sorry. I just come in. Look, all I want is a book, Inside USA by John Gunther.
Yes, sir. It's right here on our current book rack. Here you are.
Thank you. I'll take it along. Goodbye.
One moment, please. You'll have to check the book out. Who is it for?
M. Burrell, 562 West End Avenue.
Are you Mr. Burrell?
No, I'm Harry Truman.
I'll see if you're listed. Harry Truman, T-R-U-S...
Wait, hold it! Look, the name is Burrell, and I'm not listed here.
Oh, you haven't a library card?
What's a library card?
Well, you have to have a card.
Okay, then. Give me a card. I can play along with a gag.
You'll have to fill out this form. Two of these, six of these in triplicate, four of
whoa,
these...
Wait a minute. All I want is a book, not a personal loan. It'll take me a week to fill those out, and all I want
You'll
is...
You'll have to leave, sir. You're too noisy. Rule 16 states that...
All right. I'll leave. I'll take it easy. Give me the forms, miss. I've only lived in this city 2 weeks... But if those are the rules...
You've only been here 2 weeks?
Yes.
Oh, well, then these forms aren't necessary.
Well, fine, then I'll just take the book.
I'm sorry, sir. According to Rule 17A...
Look, miss, do I get a book?
You can obtain a library card by having this form signed by a property owner. Or being a property owner yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or if your name is listed in the telephone directory.
Mm-hmm.
Or if 16 character witnesses vouch for you.
All I want to do is read a book. I'm not running with Wallace.
I'm sorry, I'll have to take that book. Those are the rules.
Those are the rules, eh? Well, let me tell you...
You'll have to leave, sir. You're making...
I know. I'm making too much noise. Okay, I'm leaving. But I'll be back. I'll beat the system if it takes me 10 years. How do you do, miss?
Anything I can do for you, sir?
Oh, no, nothing. Remember me, Burrell, the guy who couldn't take out the book?
The public library is available to all, rich and poor, well and sick, old and young.
Well, I come in to tell you I now have a telephone. It was a tough job getting one. I had to tell him I was a bookie. Now, can I have my card?
A library card?
Yeah. Look, miss, you said if I had a telephone, I could have a card.
Yes, sir. What was the name?
M. Burrell, 562 West End Avenue.
One moment, Mr. Burrell, I'll check that.
The book is Inside USA by John Gunther.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Burrell, but your name isn't listed in the telephone directory.
Of course it isn't. I just got the phone yesterday.
Rule 45 states you must be listed in the telephone directory, have a property owner sign, own a home...
But you said if I had...
You'll have to leave, sir. Rule 16...
All right, I'll go. I'm not licked. I'll be back. You watch, I'll be back. Hello.
Hello. Anything you wish, sir?
No, nothing much. Just browsing around. Sort of dropped in for a book. You don't mind, do you?
The public library is
available to all.
Rich and poor.
Yeah. I know. By the way, I took care of that little matter of having a property owner sign this form for me. Mr. Ed Bigelow lives next door.
I'll check that,
yeah,
sir.
Do that.
Central office, a check on property owner E. Bigelow, West End Avenue.
By the way, the book is Inside USA by John Gunther.
Yes? Thank you.
Do I get the library card here or at the other desk?
Mr. E. Bigelow is no longer a property owner.
Now, wait a minute.
Mr. E. Bigelow sold his home last night and was evicted by the new owner this morning.
He can't do this to me. After all...
You'll have to leave, sir. Rule 16...
All right. I'll play you a little game. It's me against the system. But I won't give up. I'll get that card if it takes me until next Christmas.
Mr.
Merry Christmas, miss.
Merry Christmas, sir. Is there anything I can do for you?
Oh, no, no, nothing at all, nothing at all.
I just dropped in to tell you I bought a house. 28 rooms and 7 baths. All I need is 2 rooms and a shower, but I bought a house.
Look, miss, this isn't personal. I want my card.
A card?
Yes.
Miss, for 6 months I've been coming here. 6 months.
You mean you've lived in the city for 6 months?
I've lived in this library alone for 6 months.
6 months?
Yes.
Oh, well, then you automatically get a card.
I automatically get a card. I didn't need the house. I didn't need the telephone.
No, sir. Here is your library card.
Isn't it in my card? I don't believe it. Me, M. West End on Burl Avenue. Get in the card. It's mine. All mine.
What book did you want, sir?
Inside the Public Library by Milton Gunther. I mean, Inside USA.
Oh, that book's very popular.
Yes.
It's out right now. I'll put your name on the waiting list.
Waiting list?
You're number 2,345.
What?
Come back in 6 months. It may be it.
Now, listen, lady. I don't ask much out of life. All I just want to do is read a book. That's all, a book.
Stop! Give me that card, sir.
Oh, my card. He took my card. Give me it back.
According to sub-rule 8, after 4 violations of rule 16, your library card must be torn up.
No.
There.
No. He tore up my card.
After a period of 10 years has elapsed, you may use the public library. Good day,
no,
sir.
No. All I wanted was a book. I'm going back to reading the racing form. That's what I want. Thank you very much. I'll be back in just a moment. In the meantime, Ken...
Friends, remember the words of the eminent nose and throat specialist whose statement you heard a little while ago.
We would be neglecting our patients who smoke if we did not suggest that they smoke Philip Morris.
Yes, there's a difference in Philip Morris that distinguishes it from any other leading brand. And to you, that difference means a cleaner smoke, a fresher, milder smoke than you've ever known before. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
This is your girlfriend, Milton, saying goodnight. See you next Tuesday. Good night.
This is Johnny Danny, sending now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and pour for Philip Morris.
For a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke, join the millions who call for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station. Listen in Sunday night when Johnny presents Philip Morris Night with Horace Hite over the same network. Until then... Hello? Hello? Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax. Take 5. Take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.